Hey, I'm Ethan.
Hey, I'm Mike.
I watched the first half of All Quiet on the Western Front.
I watched the second half of All Quiet on the Western Front.
And this
is the other half.
You like reading?
Yeah.
Ever read this book?
No.
Yeah. I did.
You did?
Yeah, actually, this is the one time I feel like I've read a book and you haven't.
Yeah.
I read this book. Oh, my gosh. And here's the thing. I don't remember a whole lot about it. I just remember a really sad part where they're hanging out in a foxhole or like some sort of crater thing.
Right.
It's real fucking sad.
It's probably, I remember the details. A trench.
It's probably... No, I think it was like actually like a crater, like in the, not in a trench. It was like outside of a trench.
Okay.
And
does he try to like save like a Frenchman or something like that?
Probably, yeah.
That happened in my half of the movie.
Yeah, yeah, that's why I was like, I don't remember this part. I bet Mike has it. Also, this movie's like, what, 2.5 hours long?
It's long, yeah.
It's a long ass movie, dude.
But it's a long book, too.
It is a long book.
It was a long war.
But they actually cut out a lot of stuff, I think.
They have to.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a movie. I think in most interpretations of this, I think this is the first adaptation that's in German. Like every
there's not that many adaptations. There's only one in the 30s, I believe.
I believe there's two of them before this
Maybe
one.
I'm wrong
and then. I believe both. I think there was one. Well, there's a movie, which is what you're thinking of, and then there was a TV miniseries.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. This is the second movie, then, I guess.
Yeah, this is the second movie.
But like 100 years, I mean, I guess, or 90 years. Yeah, I guess it's time to make a remake. Sure.
Yeah,
it's 90
that's
years.
Fair.
I think that's okay.
Yeah, no, it's totally fair.
Well, sometimes there's a
perfect But what are they going to do with it? You know, that's the real question.
Yeah. They're going to make it German and real fucking sad.
And. You know what my favorite part of this whole movie was? Huh. I'm going to just lay it out on the table. I love the music in this movie.
Dude, the music in this movie, nuts. It's like Trent Reznor,
yeah.
but like held back.
Oh my God.
And like Hans Zimmer like banged. It was crazy.
It was like pretty like standard stuff. And then you hear that fucking synthesizer.
As soon as you hear that synthesizer, you're like, these motherfuckers, some shit's going down.
I'm like, I'm in.
Some shit's happening.
Fuck yeah. Fucking drop the beat.
Dude, yeah, this movie fucking...
You liked this one a lot.
This movie fucking slaps, dude.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's so damn good, dude.
Would you say it's worthy of a nomination for
Best Picture? I think it definitely is. This is one, you know, so far we've only had hits. And I'm very happy with only having hits so far on this podcast.
What do you mean? This is our second one.
Yeah. I think, do you remember we did like Belfast, our second one?
Oh, God.
And we were like,
oh,
yeah, I remember that movie.
Well, we did Belfast, and then after that, I think we did Coda. And we were just like, what is this? What is happening?
Yeah. I was like, Coda's fine, but like, I don't know if Oscar worthy. I'm like, what is happening? I have no problem with that movie. It's okay. I don't think it's an Oscar worthy movie.
I don't think it's a Best Picture ever of that year movie.
Yeah.
I understand that. That's fair.
But this movie, though, all right. Yeah. Sure, yeah. Sure. This is a fucking movie, man. Also, like, what a fucking ballsy movie. Just, oh my God, the opening of this movie is just...
Like, tell me.
Oh, it's incredible. All right. So, the beginning starts off with a quiet bunch of quiet shots of just the countryside. Because it's the Western
It's all quiet.
Front. It's all quiet, right?
Yeah.
You got, like, real foxes there. I'm like, oh, shit. No fucking CGI foxes here in Germany. They actually put real foxes and they, like, film them. And they're like, oh, look how cute they are. And I was like, man, these motherfuckers are going to get hit by a bomb or something, right? They don't. They don't. They're fine. They're fine.
They make a
little foxhole.
And then people like go inside
exactly.
of it.
Exactly. Yeah. They have foxhole. It's just like everything else in this. It's the whole World War One foxholes. Get
yeah,
it?
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
But no. Then it cuts to an aerial shot and it zooms out of just a shot of a whole bunch of dead soldiers, just all just laying out like a completely flat. Just bullets every so often. Just it's just quiet. But then you hear bullets go bing, bing, and just hit like random parts. And like sometimes they hit a person. Sometimes they don't.
That's awesome.
And it just keeps panning out.
Yeah.
And then some guy. He's yelling at this guy named Henrik. There we cut to like the German side, and he's yelling and screaming. He's like, "Henrik, get up there, go fight!" And he just gets shot.
Oh.
And Henrik's like, "Oh, okay." And you see this guy just run up with his, you know, his gun and his like shovel, and he runs up that ladder, and just every motherfucker's dying. Everyone's just getting like laid out.
Yeah.
This is all one shot.
Yeah,
one shot of him going up the ladder, running around. People are getting shot. He shoots his gun a couple times. He's not even like shooting at anything. He's just shooting.
He's terrified.
Have time to shoot.
Yeah.
And like aim, and he finally like leaves his gun and just charges in, and he runs and he just grabs his shovel and just. Impales a dude with a shovel and then
Jesus
it cuts.
Jesus Christ.
And then it cuts all that one shot.
Yeah.
And then it's just immediate shot of a bunch of dead bodies in a van.
Whoa.
And people having to take the boots and uniforms off of them.
To use for the other ones.
For the other people. And it's just a whole bunch of them just silent. None of this is like, there's no dialogue or anything. You just see all this.
Yeah. All visual storytelling. Yeah.
You know, and also it's in German, so I can understand it anyway.
I was going to ask if you saw it in German.
Yeah, of course.
Because on Netflix, you can choose English as the language. And I'm like, why would you do that?
I can do dubs if it's anime or animation.
Sure, sure, sure.
But in real life, I'm just looking at their lips. I'm like, these don't match. These don't
match.
Yeah,
and I'm also just like, this isn't what this actor looks like, sounds
exactly,
like. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they have to like, I know that's big in like other places. I feel like in America, we're just like, we'll just read subtitles.
Yeah.
At least generally.
I'd prefer, yeah.
Or they just don't go see, or Americans just don't see foreign movies. So
that's very
I guess
true
that's
as
it.
Well. Yeah.
Anyway, a bunch of bodies in a van. They're taking them off, taking the boots off. They're being buried in a mass grave.
Mm.
The mass grave is at least they got coffins, which is nice, but there's a lot of coffins.
Yeah. That's shocking that they actually put them in coffins.
Yeah, right? I didn't know that.
Just
but
dump them into a hole.
But, you know, war was different back then, I suppose.
I suppose, yeah.
So then we follow.
There is a big thing of, like, you'll die, but, like, at least you died with honor. You know?
Oh, yeah.
So I think they wanted, like preserve that.
Even if they're all, like, unmarked boxes.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly, yeah.
So then we follow the uniforms. Like, we take the uniforms, and they're being pushed in a wheelbarrow.
Mm.
A lady grabs, and she starts washing all the clothes, and comes just a huge pool of blood that she's Ugh. Basically washing it in.
That's ridiculous,
man. Then all these get sent to seamstresses who are fixing the clothes. Mm. And you see the seamstress, like, looking at a hole. I'm like, oh, that's weird.
She fixing the bullet hole.
Fixing the bullet hole.
Yeah.
And she and then it got a close-up of what it is, and it's got Heinrich's name right on it.
That's good,
like,
shit.
I'm like, oh, so what happened to him?
He's naked somewhere.
Man, it sucks when you just put on a lot of weight on the front line. You got a great uniform. What a bad time.
Now he's Thindrick.
Yeah. So I thought about this, and I was like, okay, so this is the opening, and then boom, it starts off with, like, the title.
Right.
Or does it start with the title, or is it just... I can't remember. I think it just goes to
maybe,
like...
Do you know,
like,
the title shows up at the end of the movie, too.
Okay, so maybe it is just 1917 North Germany. It just cuts to, like, our main character. Because at first, you're like...
Paul?
Paul, yeah. But the opening, I think...
Did he look like the fucking guy from, like, 1917 as well, a little bit, too?
A little bit. The whole movie, it's set at the same time.
Right,
so,
just on a different part of the war line, you know? Mm-hmm. The whole time, I'm just like, this guy and the dude from 1917 would be, like, really good friends.
Yeah. Except they'd probably try to kill each other.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Know? Besides that.
Yeah.
But, like, this opening is just so good because it just, like, it really kind of encapsulates what this movie's about. Basically, just, like, as you're a person while you're in war,
yeah.
But as soon as you come out of war, you don't become a person. You become, like, a number.
Right.
You know? And you're not even, like... All they use you for is your uniform. Like, you become less valuable.
Your boots and a helmet. There's, like,
exactly.
A line, like, later in the film where a character is like, all I am is boots and a helmet, you know? And it's true, because even when you die,
yeah,
that's just going to get used.
Exactly. You know? You're just another, like, cog in the machine. You're just taking that uniform being used for someone else. Like, you're just, you know, oh, well, we got more resources now, I guess, for other folks. It's just like, damn.
To die in,
yeah.
Yeah.
So it's the third year of the war, right? So the war has
been
going on a while.
Christ.
I know. 1917, it's been
Ethan,
a while.
What was World War I all about? Tell
World
the folks
War
at
I,
home.
Okay, World War I, as far as I'm aware, is Franz Ferdinand got assassinated, and it was a lot of miscommunication, and basically Germany's like, we're going to make a land grab, and they tried doing it to France, and that's kind of it. Like, and then a bunch of other places had miscommunications about who was at war.
Right.
I believe there is a nation that no longer exists now. I can't remember their name off the top of my head, but they're no longer there.
Mm-hmm. Was it Istanbul, or was it Constantinople?
I think it might have been both. I could be wrong, though, but I looked it up beforehand, and I was like, okay, I do remember this. Because another thing about this movie is just like the war, it was all like a lot of misunderstanding and a lot of miscommunications and like people just holding up each other as other people, as the imperialistic kind of like machine moves on.
Right.
And people
right.
just want to get greedy and take more land and et cetera. And like, it was the height of like everyone just being like, we're just building an empire. We're building a legacy, you know, the fatherland, stuff like that.
Right.
And it was just, people got swept up in that. And it was kind of weird because like in World War II, it's like, fucking Nazis bad.
Yeah, we were
right?
fighting like
not
yeah.
like actual Nazis.
Right.
World War One though.
Like full on
like,
fascist bigotry.
Yeah, well in World War One it's just like everyone's just like really into nationalism, which is like kinda weird because like America kind of likes that too.
Yeah, exactly.
America's kind of in the imperialism.
It was a bunch of nationalist imperialists just going at each other.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's like, no, my nation's better.
Yeah, pretty much. And like we could take this land, etc.
Yeah.
But you know, because of how bad Germany lost. Kind of led the World War II. Anyway, Yeah, it turns out if you lose a war, you might turn in, might blame minorities for that.
All right, thank you. This is Ethan's history lesson.
That is my rough history lesson that I learned a long time ago at a recalling, and we all know how my memory is.
All I remember is Franz Ferdinand getting killed.
And they play that song. Dan, dan,
yep,
dan.
That's right.
Dan. Okay.
I say go to war.
Take me out to die. Okay.
Western Front.
Okay, so we're introduced to our boy Paul, the main character. He's so excited with all these boys. Mm. He's hanging out with his boys.
Yeah.
His boys are like, you know, we're hyped up. Let's go to war.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's like, hell yeah, this sounds awesome.
Mm. So he enlists.
They're enlisting. They're volunteering.
Whew.
Mm-hmm.
They're God all down damn.
For it. Yep.
He said that later in the movie. I'm like, there's no fucking way that I would ever enlist in something like this. Fuck this.
Nationalism, man.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. The nationalist.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Doing
yeah.
the Pledge of Allegiance at
as a child.
As a child, you know.
Yeah,
you gotta,
every
you
day.
Do it for your country.
Yeah, hand over your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right,
baby. So yeah. So they're actually really excited to go to the front too. I'm like, you motherfuckers.
You dumb idiots.
But you see why? It's because they go to kind of like, I'm not sure if it's like a school or like a.
It's like a school, I think.
It's probably like a school. It's like a Catholic school, I think.
Yeah.
And There's an army recruiter there, and he's basically saying, like, I'm certain I will see most of you back here soon.
Mm.
You'll have a chance to earn the uniform you were given. Considering the first scene and how it opens up with the uniform literally being ripped off of someone.
Yeah.
Clearly they did not, quote unquote, earn their uniform because they died.
It also must
pass down.
They must not know a lot about what's going on the front line at all. Yeah.
No, of course not. It's... Like they're not going to tell civilians. Like people are just being ground up there, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's perhaps the ugliest war because this is the first war.
The first war of the world.
No. The first war of the Industrial Revolution. Everyone's like, what if everyone had like automatic weapons and shit? You know? And
well, no, it's the first world war is what I'm saying.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah,
you're
yeah,
right,
yeah.
You're right.
It's like we're literally fighting everyone else.
Yeah, that's true. If everyone's fighting you, maybe you're the problem.
Yeah, are we the bad guys?
Are we the bad guys? So anyway, they're like, this is good. So excited. You guys are going to go finally march on Paris. Yeah, for Kaiser, God, and the fatherland. And like a group of, I don't know, maybe like 100 guys, boys are like, yeah. And these kids are young. They're like, I would say maybe 18, 17, 19, you know, like
right
when you get drafted sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
When you become just an adult.
Mm-hmm.
So
too young to drink, old enough to go to war.
Not in Europe, though.
Not in Europe,
though. At least in Germany, man. At least you can have a beer before you serve this country, man. At least I could take a bullet in my chest and also drink a beer.
Yeah.
Man, that's Germany, bro. America, we can't do that, man. Because these fucking liberals are coming in and telling us that you'll get in a car accident and shit. And fuck that, man. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I'll still get a DUI. So Paul, our buddy, gets his uniform. And he's so excited. You know, they're in like the chest where the test was a bunch of people going up. You know, they're all in their skivvies or whatever.
Right, right, right. Checking their balls.
Checking, making sure they're healthy and not sick and they're fit to go to war.
Right.
And he gets his uniform and he starts walking away. He looks at it. He says, oh, there's already a tag on here. And he like, there's someone's name on
it. Is it Heinrich?
He goes to the uniform distributor, and the guy just says, oh, it's probably a little, this uniform is probably a little too small for the fellow. Happens all the time.
Fucking liar.
And he rips it off, and it falls around. Only like a second shot, you see the name Heinrich
on
the ground.
Shit, dog. Just that's good
only
shit.
For a second. Like, it's not even like in your face. It's just like.
I like the editing in this movie as well.
It's so good.
It's so good because it's like, it's aware of the fact that we know where this is going, and so it just gives us like an instant.
Yeah,
you
only
know?
Need a little bit to really understand things.
It's very clever stuff. Yeah.
So, yeah, he rips it off. But it's funny because think about the earlier scene about him saying you have to earn the uniform. It's like literally like, oh, Heinrich didn't earn this uniform.
No.
But maybe you will, buddy. Maybe you'll live to the end.
Oof.
Who knows?
Yeah. Will he?
I don't think so.
Well, you read the book.
I read the book. I don't think it ends well for anyone. It's been a long time, but I don't think it ends well for anyone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So then we got his buddy Ludwig here. There's a group of like four boys, all
right? Right.
I don't think it fucking matters the time it gets to your half, so I'm just going to call them just four boys.
That's fine. All I know is Cat.
Cat. Well, he's not a boy.
He's a man.
He's an adult man. We'll get to him in a bit, but he's not there with the boys.
Yeah.
Ludwig gets some glasses, and these glasses are like, they look like swimming goggles.
Oh, yeah,
they attach to his head.
Right.
Because like, you don't want your glasses falling
off
during
the
war.
Yeah.
But it does also show that, like, they're kind of willing to accept anyone into this at this point,
yeah,
right?
Like, yeah, because usually if you have bad eyesight,
you probably aren't going to be running around the war. But at this point, it's like, well, we figured out glasses. It's fine.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So they're all hyped up and shit. Now they go north of France now. You're getting a pep talk from their commander. They all have their guns or uniforms. And like, you will pamper, you will love your weapon because, which doesn't say it, but you know they're going to want to reuse it. Like, if you die, they're going to take your weapon back and like use that again.
Yeah.
So take good care of it.
Right.
So
the weapon is more important than you are.
Pretty much. Yeah. So they arrive and they were going to drive to the front line, but they have to walk now because there's medic. The medic just screams like, I need the trucks now. There's a whole bunch of people that are dying. Give me those trucks. I'm like, okay, fine. So the boys are walking to the front and it's a long walk, but then artillery starts dropping. Yeah. It doesn't really hit them. It kind of is off to the side, but everyone ducks. They're like, oh shit, it's gas.
Mm.
And they start putting on gas masks and Paul puts on his too slow, you know?
Oh no.
And the commander looks at Paul and is just like, you will almost certainly be dead by dawn.
Oh my God.
And it's really cool because it's just two of them in masks looking at each other. And they're well-fitted masks. Like, I don't know. People don't know this in COVID, it sounds like. But, like, if you breathe with your mask,
yeah, it fogs it up.
No. It's not supposed to.
Right.
It's supposed to go in and out. You should see the breathing in your mask. If you don't, you don't have a good seal.
Right.
These guys are breathing like crazy. And that mask going in and out. And they're just, like, emoting and showing like, exactly what they're doing.
Right. That's why
I think The Last of Us is cowards for changing it. So I'm like, I could see exactly what these guys are thinking and talking. They have masks on.
Yeah.
I digress.
So you're saying this is better than The Last of Us?
I mean, it's different. It's a different thing. There's no pandemic except for the human race.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess it's the same thing in Last of Us, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so... he's going to die. Okay, so he's like, you put it on too slow. You have to wear your mask basically the whole time now. So keep it on. Everyone else could take theirs off. And then they arrive at the trenches and they're like, congratulations, this is your home now, have fun. It's like raining, it's pouring, it's dark, everything's gray.
The old man is snoring.
It sucks, exactly, bumped his head, now he's dead. Not because he got shot, but because he just bumped his head
like an idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Surely
be dead by dawn.
They have to literally, sad, dead by dawn, it's not even from a bullet or gas or anything, it's literally just like, oh, my head. I guarantee it's happened though.
Oh, of course.
So, but all these boys are just standing there in this puddle and they have to like dump water out of the trench because it's raining so hard. That's like their first job.
Right.
And Kat comes by, whose name's Kaczynski.
Oh, I was wondering. And, I'm like, Kat's a weird name for a guy.
Yeah, he's like, this is how it is, boys. Nice to meet you.
Mm-hmm. Meow.
And I'm already disengaging from these guys' names because I just call this guy the glasses guy.
Okay.
Is like, who was the guy who seemed to hype everyone up, says, I'm sorry, guys. This isn't how I imagined it.
Oh,
I'm like, oh, dude. It's like, it's one thing to be like at a concert or something. And like, maybe the guy says the ethnic slur at the front. You're like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, this isn't how I imagined this, you know, this concert to go, you know, maybe it's a little too aggressive.
That's just
or
like
whatever.
A shitty evening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not like, sorry, guys, this is how we're going to fucking die now.
Yeah.
Like, he says it in the same context, the same tone.
Like, how else do you respond, though?
You really can't, you know? It's just like, well, this is it now. If we leave, we're going to be shot for treason. So
yeah,
cool.
Exactly.
And then Kat comes by because they're all so shaking and cold. And he's like, the poor little glasses guy is like, I can't feel my hands. And Kat's like, put your hands in your underwear. It's what I do to keep them warm. Mm-hmm. So it's just this overhead shot of these four dudes with their hands down their pants in this puddle of water. And it's just raining.
Ugh,
and it's just
miserable.
The most pathetic, like, damn, worst camping trip ever.
Like, we've all been there.
We've all been there.
Yeah.
So it's nighttime. They're having a watch. And Paul thinks he sees someone there, like outside on the no man's land or whatever it's called.
Sure.
And he shoots Gal Gadot. No, I'm just kidding.
But she deflects.
She deflects.
Yeah.
And she comes at him and he goes, banner, 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 bam. You know, the Wonder Woman music in case anyone didn't recognize it. She lashes of truth, Paul.
Yeah.
It's like, you did more in your underwear, didn't you? You didn't just put your hands down there to keep warm.
Does Wonder Woman do that in the movies?
What, The Lasso of Truth?
Yeah, they go like, you've been jerking off, haven't you?
James Gunn will. James Gunn's version will.
Oh, absolutely.
Will, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Make a joke about that.
No doubt in my mind.
No doubt in my mind.
Yeah.
So he shoots randomly. He thinks he's like a rat, but it's basically a rat on a body, like just eating a body. And he shoots at it. And he's like, oh, I don't think it was anything. And then a bullet goes, bang, hits him right in the head.
Whoa.
He has a helmet on, so it knocks the helmet off.
Right.
And Cat comes by and is like, dude, you can't just shoot. You got to shoot and then move and then shoot again. Because yeah. they're going to shoot at your muzzle flash.
Right.
He's like, oh, oh okay.
I'm the kind of idiot that would do that.
You just shoot and be like, yeah. fucking rat,
where'd
get it.
Go?
How'd they know I was here? I wonder if, like, they shine a light on the guy with the glasses, too. Like, he has such a disadvantage.
Oh, yeah, you can see the reflection.
Right?
Yeah, that's true.
So artillery fucking starts launching, and they're under attack by basically just the artillery. So they all get in the bunkers, you know, hide there.
Yeah.
And the glasses guy now is panicking. He's like, I can't do this. I want to go home. And then he's like, Paul, we'll always be together, right? And I'm like, that means you motherfucker are going to die in like a minute here, aren't you? So they launch the artillery strike, and one of the older captains mentions, like, oh, you know why they're launching the artillery, right? That means the infantry is going to move forward next.
Oh,
so prepare
no.
for a battle, guys. And they're all like, oh, shit.
Fuck
so
that.
One guy, like, kind of panics, and he's like, I'm going to get out of here. I gotta go do something. And they're like, stay in the bunker. He's like, no, I got to go. And he runs out and blows up immediately. Blood flies all over Paul's face.
Jesus.
And I'm like, good Lord. Here we go. Now the bunker just fucking gets hit by artillery and collapses.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it cuts and some people make it out and some people didn't. You see Paul getting up.
He made it.
He's real dirty, though. He's nasty looking.
Oh, yeah.
And
he
just
shower.
Sees Kat hanging out outside the bunker. He's just like eating some, like, I don't know, jerky or something. And he like hands him Paul one. He's just like sitting there shaking as he eats it. And some guy comes by and is like, hey, are you hurt? He's like, no, I think I'm okay. And he's like, all right. Get some dog tags. And just
go collect dog tags.
Walk through the trenches of all these people and just immediately, like, just plucking the dog tags off.
And he sees Glasses Guy, didn't he?
He does find Glasses Guy.
Yeah.
And his face is on the ground. And he flips him over and he's dead. He's got, you know, also he's missing a leg. So I'm like, yeah, he's probably
not.
And, you know, he flips him over, sees his glasses, bro. Oh, actually, what happens first, he steps on the glasses.
Oh, shit.
And then he's like, oh, no, the glasses are gone.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, 30 minutes into the movie, and, like, this dude's life already
gone
to absolute shit.
Yeah.
Like, this is just miserable.
Yeah.
The
movie's trying to get across that, you know, human life in the middle of this feels meaningless.
Yeah, it feels like nothing, right?
Yeah.
So he goes, and he cries for a little bit, because his bro's dead.
Baby.
And then, what a baby,
what
man.
A big baby.
That's what he'd say, I'm dead on the fucking trenches, and you roll by, like,
Come on,
man.
Chill
Should've
out,
done
dude.
Better.
Yeah.
Get good, nerd.
I played Call of Duty.
Yeah, it's the same thing. So we cut to... What's funny is he's now going through and, like, picking up all these dog tags, and it cuts to another dude in, like, a office with a uniform reading dog tags to another officer.
Right.
And it's just... The juxtaposition is just, like, everything's calm, everything's
I was gonna
collected.
Say, did you
these
notice...
These are all washed dog tags.
When they're at war, cameras usually, like, handheld, and then when they're away from war, cameras,
all
like,
well.
Locked down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I did
yeah.
notice that. It's a lot less, like, visceral. It's just, like...
It all
very
feels
professional,
little,
cleaned up,
a little more
up.
Under control, calm, safe.
Mm-hmm,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. It's very cool how they do that.
It's such a simple like technique, but it's so
it
effective.
Works. It really works. Yeah.
So there's a larger guy named Erkberger, who's the guy who's being read to, and
is he a guy with glasses, or is he the dude? He's got glasses and a mustache.
He has a mustache.
Yeah.
He's larger.
Is he bald?
I don't think he. I think he has a hat on. I could be wrong.
Does he look like Wario?
Kinda.
All right. I called him Commander Wario. I didn't know his name. But he's like the big boss, essentially, right?
He's one of the big bosses.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a boss ahead of him, but he seems to be like our
he's
hero
very
boss.
Angry.
He's mad because... Yeah. No. You're not. You're thinking of a different guy.
Okay. Got
he's
it.
The
Thank
commander
you.
Command. He's the field commander.
Right. Yeah. Commander Wario.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I know exactly what you're talking about. That guy definitely looks like Wario. This guy looks like Mario.
Yes. Okay, I know who you're talking about. Then.
We're literally comparing this. This is the Mario movie we want.
Yes.
Get out of here, Illumination. Take the minion shit out of here. We want to see Mario in the trenches.
But Mario has like kind of like rounded glasses, like hair. And
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, I know who you're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Well, that's
got
so
it.
Funny.
So we got Mario. We got Wario.
Now that you've said Wario, I'm like, I know exactly who you're talking
right?
about.
Right. He looks like Wario.
He's pissed off too.
Yeah. He's always angry, and he's got a big old bushy mustache.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
So Mario.
Yeah. Commander Mario, as we'll call him now.
Right.
He's like, Look, 40K were killed in a few weeks.
Yeah.
Here's the tags. And he gives it to his brother Luigi, who's like, I'm going to go tell the princess. Whoa! So I guess to convince the princess to stop the war. They say, okay. So he runs in there, and he's going to try to convince him, because like 40K in a few weeks is a lot to be not gaining much ground.
Yo, they're mostly like stagnating.
Yeah, they're not making any progress.
Yeah. If anything, they're holding, which is not good.
There are people who are trying to get the war to end. They're like, we're fucking done, guys. Let's stop. But now I cut to Paul. He's in the back of a truck. He's going to Champagne.
Mm-hmm.
And him and his bro Cat are just getting along with shenanigans.
They're
breaking into someone's house and stealing a goose.
Yeah, they steal eggs from the guy.
Probably the same person.
Yeah, I think it is the same guy. It's like a farmer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Steals a goose. Everyone's starving, though, so they're like really excited to eat this goose.
Mm-hmm.
They have a good time eating it, and they still, like, make a song about how good the goose is. They're having a good time.
Blame it on the goose.
And then we cut to them hanging outside. Some of the random boys, I don't know all their names. I'm going to try to do my best.
You don't have to tell them to me if you don't want to. I don't know who they
you
are.
Can keep them faceless.
Can you compare them to any Italian stereotypes that I might know?
We got Donkey Kong. Yes! We got a guy named Yoshi.
We got Toad.
He screams the most when he gets shot.
And when they die, they turn into boo.
To this day, the boos, you cannot look at them before they will freeze.
All boos on the Western Front.
Oh my God. They're hanging out and they see a bunch of ladies, and some dude runs off to go flirt with them, and another guy is like, distraught. He's like, oh, I thought they were gonna get mad at him, but they seem to kind of like him.
Yeah,
these French ladies.
Mm-hmm.
And this other dude, Tahaden, is like, hey, what are you guys gonna do when this war is over? And he's like, I'm gonna have a lot of ladies around me. And everyone's like, dude, well, I don't know how it's gonna be when we get back to war. So then we get to a really sad scene in multiple levels.
Okay.
Tell
me about it.
Cat gets a letter
from his wife.
I believe
his son.
His wife.
Right, but his son dies.
Well, his son's been dead.
Oh, okay, sorry. I'm sorry.
You're getting too ahead of yourself, Mike.
I just want to know what happens to Cat. He's my favorite guy.
So Cat goes, he's got a letter. He goes over to Paul. Yeah. By the way, Paul right now is pooping. So he goes over.
The saddest scene.
Pulls down his pants and poops right next to Paul. They're pooping on the little poop stool.
That's how dudes talk to each other.
And he's like, hey, can you read this letter for me? Because he can't read.
Right. Yes. Yeah,
and
he's illiterate.
I am so glad no one has diarrhea right now. It would really ruin the scene. I don't even think they poop at all. Like, I don't think Cat poops.
Yeah.
I think it's just all about emotion.
He's only there to have him read the letter.
That's probably it. Yeah. He's probably like fake pooping it, you know? He's going to take some time off work. So he's going to like be like, oh, no one can get me mad at me while I'm in the stall. And you see that
I'm here. He's a shy pooper or something. Yeah. If anyone's near him. Yeah.
So Paul reads it to him.
Mm-hmm.
He reads that his lady is like, I want more money because, you know, my lifestyle here, you know, if you can give me some more, that'd be great.
Yeah.
I visited your son's grave.
Woof.
And, you know, it was great. And then Paul's like, I'm so sorry. I didn't know you had like a son and he died or anything. He's like, it's okay. It happens. And he's like, when we get back, all these things seem so petty. I don't even know how we're going to relate to people back home.
Yeah.
And then he pulls up his pants and leaves. And I'm like, man.
He didn't even wipe.
Yeah. He did it. That's why I don't think he went.
Yeah,
I think he ghost pooped.
Yeah.
He
just farted.
He just farted. It's like, it's good enough, right?
Yeah.
So then.
The poops have to be so bad.
Oh, dude.
Because eating well.
Yeah, you're right. Because it's all like dried and kind of like just the base minimum. There's not enough veggies.
Like slop. Yeah, exactly.
No veggies in there. So then we got Paul's asleep in his bunk, but then some guy named Franz comes by, and he came back from an outing. An outing with one of the ladies. He was the person who was talking to the ladies.
Woo!
He's very excited. He's like, ooh, came back. And he's like, Paul's like, look, I'm excited. I'm glad you came back. I know you're late, but we got to get up early tomorrow and go find some kids who are supposed to arrive earlier today. He's like, oh, that's okay. I'm very excited with Eloise. She's so soft. Her skin is white as milk. And I'm like, uh-oh. Skin white as milk?
Oh, no. Ethan's dying.
Skin white as milk, huh?
Yeah.
What? Is this maybe the rise?
Oh, it's a cow.
It's a cow.
He fucked a cow.
I thought he was going to say, you know, this maybe there's a rise of his Nazi beliefs fascism. Or something like that. Yeah, I don't know. It's like, being white is great. Like, I don't know. I don't know if I've ever said that about anyone. Be like, that person's real white.
Real white. Real
good. And I'm like, that's fucking weird.
They're soft and they're white and they produce milk. It's a cow.
And when I pet them, they go, moo. Yeah. So many nipples. You wouldn't believe the nipples on this gal.
She's utterly beautiful. Look, I spotted her over there.
We gotta stop milking this joke. Very good. Okay, so the weird thing is also, besides the weird white skin comment, he gives her shawl. I'm like, guys, smell it.
I was gonna ask about the shawl.
They'll pass the shawl around. I'm like, it's a woman. Oh my god.
Smells like a lady. Yeah.
Smells like a lady. And I'm like, yeah, I get it, I guess. Sure.
You don't have to relate to that.
Yeah, I guess I don't really relate
to
it.
Yeah, I get it. You know, smells like a lady.
It smells
understand.
Like a lady. Yeah, lady smelled by herself.
Was that what it was like when you were a Boy Scout?
Pretty
like,
much.
A guy would show me, he's like, look, smells like my mom. And you're like, oh, yeah, smells like a mom.
Oh, Mrs. Peterson's so good. Oh, you're using the roses today.
I relate.
Oh, my God.
Smells like a Michaels. Okay, so
and I only was gone for a week. That's what I'm saying. I can relate to these horny boys.
Yeah. Okay, so that's where the shawl comes from. I was wondering where the shawl was from. Yeah,
Eloise, their last. I would almost say it represents like their last kind of like taste of humanity or
definitely.
Civilization.
Yeah. Or human contact.
Maybe normality.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
Old civilian life. So, then. Speaking of the soundtrack, which whips. The soundtrack goes off every time there's war. Well, guess what? Motherfucking Wario shows up.
There you go.
And he goes, wah, wah, wah.
Yeah.
And you're like, wah, oh, wah, shit. Wah. Fucking takes a bite out of his garlic. And just
farts. Bounces on his butt. Yeah, that motherfucker looks like Wario, don't he?
Looks like Wario.
He's got a big old nose, got a goofy-ass mustache. He's, like, bad, too. He's a bad guy.
He's a bad guy. And it's not just the soundtrack that says it.
Yeah.
It's the fact he looks like Wario.
He looks like Wario. So Commander Wario.
So he's arrived.
Yeah.
We cut to the next day. The boys are looking for the kids, the guys that were supposed to ship. They're looking for him.
Right.
And they just see a corpse hanging in a tree. And this corpse is just like, it is barely a body. It is like bits of a, it is like maybe 50% of a torso.
Jesus.
Just like hanging in the middle of a tree. And they're like, wow. Artillery must have got him up there. That's crazy.
So it like shot him up into a tree.
It shot him up into a tree in his body.
Yeah.
And then I guess Kat's upset about turnip bread. He's like, I hate this fucking turnip bread. It sucks.
Is it bread made of turnips?
I guess so. Which makes it sound like Wario is definitely the one making this type of food. Like, this plot of Super Mario Brothers 2 when they're pulling turnips out of the ground.
Yeah.
That's what started World War One, I bet.
I believe so. Yeah, it was Wario. It was all World War One, WW1,
mm-hmm.
Wario World One.
Oh my God! We figured it out. World War Two was Wario World Two.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so then let's see. We got this guy named Crop. He sees a picture of a lady,
mm-hmm.
and he like talks to it. And like,
yeah, it's like
he's
a
so
drawing
desperate.
Of a lady, or like a pinup.
He's so desperate.
Yeah.
It's a pinup of a lady, and he just rips it down because he's horny. And he's like, "I'm gonna take you for later, my lady. I'm gonna meet you when we come back." It's very weird, but I mean, whatever. Fucking horny guy.
Whatever. Like, fucking. It's like living in a dorm right there.
Pretty much. Yeah. It's like living in a dorm where everyone's just fucking depressed.
Yeah, exactly.
Could die at any moment.
Exactly.
Instead of smoking weed, you're just sitting there in a trench being sad.
Yeah. Masturbating.
Yeah. So then Paul, they're looking and they open up this room and Paul finds just a ton of soldiers in the building, all dead.
Jesus Christ.
And Kat shows up and he's like, fuck, they took their masks off too early.
Oh.
And he just mentions Germany will soon be empty. I'm like, damn.
What a phrase.
I know. What a fucking phrase.
God, I love it, though. That's so sad.
It's very depressing.
Yeah.
Okay, so then the crew goes to La Tarie, and we got... Oh, I wrote, General looks like Dr. Eggman.
What the fuck? He does look like Dr. Eggman.
Like, that's the...
Honestly, a little closer to Eggman than Wario.
He does look a little closer to Eggman than Wario. And which is funny because I'm like, this guy should have fucking replaced Drew Carey. Just based on...
Or Jim Carrey.
Can you imagine Drew Carey sitting up there?
Hey, how's it going? I'm Eggman.
Eggman rocks. Eggman rocks.
Yeah, this honestly, this guy is born to play Eggman.
Either Eggman or Wario. Like he's that's either how good one. He is.
He's
versatile.
That's very true.
So
Jim Carrey can't play either of those motherfuckers.
No, he can't.
Yeah,
he can't. He just plays Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
So so he comes
going
off.
Forward, should we call him Eggman or Wario?
We'll still go with Wario. That was originally introduced. I don't want to confuse anyone. I just want to put
it
out there.
All of my notes say Commander Wario. So
that's
I appreciate
fine.
It.
Anyway, so. He goes to his office, takes off his gloves. Some guy shows up and is like, "Hello, sir. We just intercepted a message that Latree will be attacked soon. It looks like they're on the offensive. They got a bunch of stuff going on. It's going to come and attack us." Mm-hmm. He's like, "Well, we sent a diplomat to negotiate with the French right now to see if we could get a ceasefire. But until I hear anything back from them, my orders are war. I'm going to take every inch of those... every inch of land from those French before they force these unacceptable terms on us."
Right.
And we cut to the diplomat who's very nervous at arriving in like a neutral ground.
Okay. I think this is the guy that I thought was Mario.
Maybe. You might be right. Yeah. You might be right. I don't know if that other guy even like does anything.
I don't think he does. Shall we call this guy Mario? What is his name?
I don't think it matters. I don't know. I just call him diplomat.
Okay, diplomat.
I don't think he has
that's
a name.
Fine. Because it's like he's really trying to like search for peace. He doesn't want this war to last.
He doesn't want
longer.
To go on. But the French guys are being dicks. Or the generals are anyway.
How are the French guys being dicks? I genuinely don't know.
I mean, they literally are just like, here are our terms. Accept them. You have you have like 48 hours to accept them.
What are their terms?
They just say they're non-negotiable.
But we don't know what they are.
Here's the thing. It doesn't matter because you can't just sign as a diplomat. You can't just sign terms that are non-negotiable. Yeah, he's just trying to get a ceasefire. If he wanted to do this, he would have to go through, like, send it through up the chain. And
right.
Have to reach
get
all
to
the
Kaiser.
The Kaiser. They have to agree to it, look at it. Of course, they're not going to like it. Right. They're not going to like unacceptable terms. So it's like, he's basically like,
gotta
can't
eat
do anything.
Fucking French fries and frog's legs.
He arrives. So it's interesting because he's arriving at France and starts talking to people. And then we're seeing the men in the trenches waiting. And Krop is there. He posts up puts up that poster or whatever. And the diplomat asks for ceasefire. And here's another instance of them not understanding each other because they're having to go through translators. None of them can speak the other person's language.
Right.
And like the Frenchman doesn't really understand him. He's like, "You want a ceasefire now while we discuss negotiations? Well, you have 72 hours to accept these terms."
Right.
And he's like, "We can't wait here for 72 hours. People are going to die." He's like, well, I don't care. And you know why the French don't care?
Because they're winning.
Because they have the advantage right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They're not going to surrender.
No, they're not going to surrender. And so, yeah. So because of that, they get the soldiers get a report from the general or someone that they have to stand, that they basically... go over the wall and charge at the French people because remember the general, the bad guy was just like,
the Wario
we're going to take as much land as we can.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they start going over the wall. They just start charging and they just, all these people get shot. People die, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
They get to the machine gun. It's just mowing people down.
Yeah.
Paul gets to the front and falls down to some cover, throws over a grenade, it explodes. He runs in, he stabs a dude and then he keeps moving on, finds another dude. Hits him with a shovel, beats him a couple times, and the dude starts pleading for mercy, like, "No, don't kill me, I'm dying. And the other dude shoots him.
Oh.
I'm just like, damn.
Damn, dog.
And then Kat finds a food bunker. Like, they take it over. They take over the trench. They're like, awesome. Mm-hmm. They find, like, a food bunker, and there's like, it's a French food bunker, so you know it's fucking lit, bro. There's baguettes, big things of bread.
Cigarettes.
Champagne on the walls.
You said baguettes and bread.
Well, other kinds of bread
that are not
baguettes. I'm just saying, French people don't just eat baguettes. They eat other kinds of bread too.
Oh, okay, got it.
I didn't want to make a stereotype. Like, come on. We're above that. We're only for Italian stereotypes
here. There's fucking snails in there.
It looks decadent, man. I was like, damn, there's like honey and shit. And I'm like, damn, this looks good. And so Kat, like, there's still bombs and shit going on. There's clearly fighting going out, but Kat doesn't give a fuck. He's just eating.
He's just eating,
Paul shows up, starts eating the food. It's a feast. Everyone's having a great time. I'm like,
in the middle of war.
And then,
mm-hmm.
The table starts shaking, and the rats start running. And they're like, what's that? And this is the craziest shit I've seen in a war movie in a long time, mm-hmm. and I think that's probably where you came in.
Yes.
But they peek over the edge, yeah. and they just see one tank on the horizon.
Yes.
And then they see more tanks, and they're framed like kaiju. They're framed like... They are. They're framed like massive beyond life.
They
like
are.
Just massive, just unbelievable. Like, what the hell
is that?
Because
this is the first time they've probably ever seen anything like this.
Probably one of the first times, yeah. So you see on the horizon... And they just start shooting at it. Obviously, it doesn't do anything.
Right.
And some guy's like, we got to rally. We could do this. And he just gets blown into pieces.
Jesus.
And then they start getting closer and closer.
To the trench.
In the trench. And they just start rolling over the trench. And you just, there's a camera angle of the treads just going over it. And just people just screaming in terror because there's just monstrous, like, machines that they can't destroy just rolling over it.
Yeah.
And in fact, you look to the right and there's a trench kind of lower and the dude is looking and going, ah, and he gets crushed
by under the trench.
This part we walked in, I'll never forget that shit.
That shit was nuts.
That shit.
I was like, okay, it's time to put on this movie. That happens.
I was like, what a way to fucking start a movie. Just a guy getting crushed. Like, I was like, how do they even do this shot? Because he's like a full person and then he just suddenly is just like, crushed up man.
Yeah.
It's disturbing.
Like, well, the thing too is before this, we get a shot of Commander Wario, like in his office.
Oh yeah, and he's just chilling. He's chilling, watching like gunfire off in the far distance.
It doesn't affect him at all. And then a hard cuts back, and everyone's getting fucking
just
flattened.
Absolutely demolished.
And they don't know how to deal with it. Like they're just like, well, cool. We're gonna die now, I guess. And like Paul is horrified because he doesn't know what to do about this, you know. And so. Eventually, they figure out, like, they need to, like, throw, like, grenades onto the tank.
They start figuring that out a little bit.
They figure it out, and then they also, like, we got to put it inside of the tank. So they, like, start throwing it inside the tank. But then, like, that's still not enough, because then motherfuckers with flamethrowers start showing up.
Oh, my God.
And there are people, there's, like, guys who are, like, full-on, like, Germans who are full-on just, like, I give up. Like, I don't want to fight anymore. And they just burn them alive. And Paul watches these guys
mercilessly just shoot them and burn them.
Just burning them. And it's just like fucking awful. And Paul sees all this and we see it in his eyes. This actor that plays Paul is so good at like looking terrified.
Yeah, he's really good at it.
Like he really, it's
honestly
like,
one of the most, the main emotion of this movie is looking terrified.
Scared. Like honestly, he looks like one of those old, like the Scream painting. Like,
yeah, he does. He's
big,
very gaunt.
Wide eyes, big, very wide gaunt, arms. Very pale. And like, he's just, whenever he looks out onto like warfare, it's just like, it's like the most terrifying thing he's ever seen in his entire life. Fucking horrifying. So scary. Everyone just keeps falling back and falling black. Glasses guy, another dude with glasses.
Clearly another guy.
Obviously another guy.
Cool, we got glasses guy 2 now.
Glasses guy 2.
We got Wario, Mario, glasses guys 2.
I'm thinking about another glasses guy. Mario, glasses guy.
Oh, okay, yeah. Diplomat.
Diplomat is like, I want to surrender. There's no point in fighting. There's so much death. And one guy's like, people would rather die in honor than, you know, continue to fight and coward. It's some other dude.
Okay.
Another dude saying this to the diplomat. And diplomat's like, my son died. And there was no honor. It was just death. Like, you know, like I've felt this war. I felt the loss of it. Every second that we wait, people are dying out there.
It's definitely like, I mean, this war is just such a pointless land grab, right? It's just like...
For what reasons?
For what reasons? Literally just to stroke your fatherland's ego?
Yeah.
The Kaiser's ego?
Stroke that father's ego. the last thing he says is, we need to make peace, and then hard cut to just brutal war. You know, main guy stabs a dude in a foxhole or like a crater.
Mm-hmm.
The dude is dying, and as the dude dies, the main guy, Paul, I kept writing main guy because I didn't know his name at this point. Paul attempts to like make his death not so painful. So he starts giving him like water and he cuts his jacket open.
This is the part I remember from the book.
And the guy just dies. Like he just dies horribly.
Takes forever, though.
Forever. He takes forever to die. And it's very painful. And like, you know, at one point, Paul like pulls out a knife and the guy's like, stop. Like, don't fucking cut me anymore. And he's just like, no, I'm trying to help. And he like cuts his jacket open, but it's not enough. And the dude dies. And then Paul pulls out all of his like stuff that was in his jacket, and he sees like pictures of his family, and he sees that he was a typographer. And at first, I was just like, "Oh, he knows fonts? No, it's a guy who like knows, you know, like the typography of things."
I don't know what that is. The typography of things.
Maps and shit. You know, like.
Do you mean topography?
Topography. Yeah.
Topography. Okay,
yeah. Apologies. I was reading it as typographer, but it's topography.
Topography. Yeah.
Right. So he. That's what he was doing. And it's just like This is the fucking dude that died, you know? Mm-hmm. And Paul just feels so bad. He's just like, and it's like, he stabbed him. It wasn't like a gunshot. He fucking stabbed this guy.
It's hand-to-hand like shit.
Yeah, like he saw the life leave his eyes.
That's the thing that's really wild about World War One in a lot of ways, is that like, it was just the beginning of the Industrial Revolution, so there's a lot of guns, but in the end, they're still using like horses. They're still basically like
bayonets,
shovels, knives, anything. Like a lot of hand-to-hand combat, a lot more than like, you know, pistols weren't around really.
No,
So
even if they were, like, they might have not been trained to.
Yeah,
use
exactly.
Them,
they probably didn't have them.
So they probably felt more confident using this sort of.
It's a lot cheaper to give a shovel than a pistol. I'm going to say that
exactly. So then we hard cut back to Wario Commander. I wrote down, again, this guy's a really good actor too. He seems simultaneously bored and angry all the time.
Yes.
Like, he's just like, he's talking to this other dude. I'm going to call him Wario, Mario 1. I believe it's the dude you're talking about.
Okay.
He's kind of gaunt and he has a mustache. And he's just like, hey, what does your father do for a living? And he's like, oh, we run cattle. And Commander Wario is like, oh, that must be nice. My father was a soldier. His father was a soldier. Mm-hmm. I come from a long line of war. And he's just like, after the war, you'll go off and you'll have a great life and you'll do tons of things. But my family hasn't been in war for 30 years. So I need to make sure this war lasts as long as possible, essentially.
Dude, what the fuck?
Yeah. Like, he's just fully admitting to the fact that, like, once this war is over, he's useless.
Damn.
And so he's just, like, drinking this wine.
People
and he just, like,
diversify their skill sets, I'm saying.
But he's got nothing else because his father had nothing else because his father had nothing else, you know?
That's true.
And it's just, like, that's why I'm, like, I feel like this is such a good actor because you can just feel the thing of, like, he's so angry and he's so bored because he's just, mm-hmm. like, the minute this is all over, and he sees that it's coming to an end, you know? Mm-hmm. So then eventually, war is over. It's peace, finally. The ceasefire has come. All the soldiers are super euphoric. Negotiations at last. And they're like, in 6 hours, I think it was like the 11th hour on the 11th day or whatever,
uh-huh.
it's all going to be over. But like, it's not over right now, technically. But like, So
there's still fighting going on?
There's not really fighting. Everyone knows the war is essentially over. It's just sort of like in 6 hours, because it takes time for like, you know, a word to get out.
News to travel, yeah.
Right. But they're like, in 6 hours, full-on ceasefire, the war will be over.
Mm-hmm.
And all the soldiers are super happy about it. There's one very wounded soldier who needs like amputation, and he's like, I don't want to go back with an amputation, so he just kills himself.
Holy shit.
With like a fork, right in front of Paul.
A fork?
Yes.
How does he do it?
Like, stabs himself in the neck with a fork.
Oh, what the fuck, dude? That sounds awful.
Paul is eating food, and all of a sudden, he just hears, like,
oh, my God.
And he looks over, and the guy's just stabbing himself in the neck, God. And then he dies while Paul's eating.
We're trying to make, like, jokes about this, but, like, this is fucking sad.
It really is.
But it's the only way to get through it, because, like, this is just, like, it sounds like the way we're saying it almost feels, like, comically depressing.
Yeah.
But, like,
no.
Not at all. Like,
no.
All of this feels, like, very realistically grim.
And the way it's shot and acted, particularly. Because,
yes.
like, there is this guy. It's, like, I think he used to be, like a police officer or something. And he's just, like, if I get amputated and I go back home, I'm not going to be able to, like, make a living. Like, I will not have the same life as I did, you know?
Yeah.
And so he's just like, yeah, might as well just fucking...
I mean, this book was written I think it might have been only, like, 10 years after World War
One. Jesus Christ.
So, not even that. I think it might have been less. But regardless, it was basically just about, like, how hard... The other... I mean, half of it was, obviously, the war.
Right.
But the other part was just, like, how sad everyone was to try to adjust.
I think that's what I really love about this. It's, like, you see that these soldiers are basically sort of tricked into going into war. And then when they get there, they don't want to be there anymore. And there's no sense of like they're happy.
There's
the
no
war
heroism.
No, they're happy the war is over. Like, imagine that. Imagine being like losing the war and being happy about it. You know what I mean? Like,
it doesn't fucking matter.
They don't give a fuck about what they're fighting for.
No, it doesn't. It's not going to change their life that much.
No, not at all.
It was such a pointless one, you know?
Yeah.
It's not like you're rescuing people or like, I don't know, maybe someone's committing horrible atrocities
to other people. Right, exactly.
It's just like, you're just finding to get more land.
Imagine a fucking German, like a book in Germany is released right after the First World War and people write it and are like, I'm going to do that again.
Good Lord, you're right.
Anyways.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, you know, whatever.
Also, like, you read it, you're probably, most people are still alive, too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But you know, the youth, they come up and they're like, whatever, that's probably fine.
Yeah, I don't know. Either way, so Paul finds Kat and they embrace each other. They seem very happy to find each other. Paul's talking to Kat, and Paul's just like, I wanted to show my mother that I could survive the war because she didn't think I'd be able to.
Damn.
And at first I'm like, there's no way he like enlisted. I figured he was like drafted. But the fact that he like made, that's one of the reasons he went to war was because mother said he couldn't.
Yeah, we didn't hear that, but it was mostly just, to me, it felt like it was mostly because his friends hyped him up, but I'm sure that was also,
I think that was a bit of it too. And now he's like, when we return, we will have the stink of war on us. Like, it will never leave us. Like,
yeah,
we've killed people. We've seen people die. Like, we are different now, you know?
Yeah.
And then Kat says this really great, this is probably my favorite line in the whole movie. He's just like, Paul, half the world is at war right now. God looks down at us and he sees murderers. Like, this, there's no hiding this from God, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you were to believe in a God, he knows this is happening and he sees us and he knows that we're murdering people.
Yeah.
And, you know? And we lost.
Yeah. So no wins.
There's nothing. There's no good out of this, right? Yeah. It's just like, it's so fucking tragic. Like, it's because it's not really, really something I think about. But yeah, it's like, if you were to believe in like a God, mm-hmm. and you're at war, a world war where half the world is doing it and they're fighting you and you're the side that's fighting everyone else. Yeah. God is seeing that, yeah. right? God is judging that, you know?
It's like, you guys are bad.
Yeah. It's like,
but like how, you know, I mean, he would also theoretically know, like, hey man,
sure.
no one signed, you know, you were tricked by this basically.
Sure. Sure.
But
you're still doing it. He's still judging
you. Still
you.
Did it. You did yeah. it because of your country.
Yeah. It's just, I love that bit. It's just like this full on, just like, that was like full doomer outlook. You know
oh,
what
big
I
time.
Mean? So then the Germans have abdicated. Finally, the war is now officially going to be over in 6 hours. Baldwario commander is not happy about it. And he's just like, we're selling off our homeland. We're giving up. We're cowards. Cut back to Kat and Paul.
Eat some garlic.
Right. Get back to Kat and Paul. They are so happy. It's like snowing. Uh-huh. And Kat's like, hey, let's go steal some eggs.
They're going to go do more thieving.
Yeah.
Stuff.
And they're, and so it's this really...
God's watching us be murderers. He's okay with thieves.
I mean, we're hungry.
Yeah.
So they're walking and it's like snowing. This is probably my favorite scene. This sequence is probably my favorite the entire movie because it's like there's no war happening anymore. They're so happy. It's just mm-hmm. like... It's sort of like the only thing I can like compare it to is like it's like when you're given like a project to do at work and then it's been taken away from you. You know what I mean?
Man, that really shows the difference of life we have
oh,
now. 100%. Like it really does. But you're 100%. Right.
It's like that, or like it's when like you're that. like it's like a test,
or, and then or you have to go out to like I don't know, go meet with someone you don't really want to meet.
Right, right.
You know,
and
like,
then it gets canceled.
Plans. So like,
and it's
good.
Just like oh, it's so and it, and Kat's just like I can't wait to go home. I can't wait to have babies. Like. Christmas is just around the corner, mm-hmm. you know, and Paul's just like, I don't even know what I'm going to do after all this. And Kat's like, Paul, if you don't go to university, I'm going to shoot you right now. Like, I can't read. Like, you
that's true.
You can read. You can do great things. I'm going to go back. I'm going to be a shoemaker. I'm going to make a happy life with my beautiful wife.
It's so wild that like people only like 100 years ago were like,
yeah,
it's very common to have people be illiterate.
Super.
It's
yeah.
Wild.
Exactly. And like, he commanded people into war, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was like,
read. That's crazy.
So they go to the farm, and Kat's like, Paul, I need you to go in there and collect the eggs because if I get caught one more time, that motherfucker's going to kill me. And Paul's like, okay. So he jumps the wall and he goes in there and he finds the eggs. And then he hears like a noise and he turns around and there's the farmer's son standing there. And then he's just like, hey, kid. And the farmer's son runs off to get the farmer. And Paul, like, fucking books it. And Paul and Kat, like, run off. And the farmer is, like, shouting at them, like, get off my property.
Uh-huh.
And then he, like, looks over to his son. He's like, I'm going to fucking kill those people one of these days. And we cut back to Kat and Paul. And Paul, they're fine. But the only thing that the farmer managed to shoot, because he was, like, shooting at them
yeah,
as they ran
away.
Yeah, he
did that the first time.
The only thing he managed to shoot was the eggs in Paul's like thing. So they're like trying to like get the eggs out so they can like eat the eggs raw.
That's so
sad. But they're so happy, dude. They're so happy. And then Kat's like, all right, I'm going to go take a piss.
Well, what's also interesting is that like they now have the choice to be shot at.
Yeah. Right.
Right?
Like that's what I was thinking.
They now can have the option of not being forced, being someone yelling at them to charge, to go up a hill, to go get shot at. It's like,
it's
if I
want to
do some crazy
now.
Shit, it's my choice now.
Exactly.
You know?
So Kat's like, I'm going to go take a piss. I'll see you in a bit. And so Kat goes to the woods to go piss on this tree. And I love this scene because the editing hints that something is wrong, but like no sound, you don't hear anything. It's just like the way that it's edited. It's all very choppy. They keep cutting back to Paul. They keep cutting back to Kat. I'm just like, what is going on? It's like, did Kat like remember something about Paul? Like, are they going to hate each other now? And then Kat like turns around and he looks and we see his face and we see like a weird smile in his face. We're just like, what is Kat thinking? And then we cut and he's looking at the farm boy's son who has a gun on him.
Oh shit.
And the farm boy's son is pointing directly at Kat.
Oh no.
And Kat is like, there's no way Kat's going to get out of this. And we cut away back to Paul and we just hear a gunshot and Paul's just like, what the fuck? And Kat comes running out of the woods. He shot the boy.
Oh, he shot the boy.
He shot the boy to protect himself. But the boy did shoot him as well.
Oh.
And he's bleeding. But it's like, we've seen people live better than this, but he's just like, this is the worst possible timing. Like, I don't want to be fucking have a bullet hole in my stomach, but like it's bleeding, but he seems fine. He just wants a cigarette. And so Paul like brings Kat back to camp and they're like talking and they're just like, you know, oh, stay awake, you know, we'll get you to the medic. It's like not a big deal. They finally make it to the medic. He sits like Kat down, asks the medic to help him out. The medic sees him. He's like, oh, he's dead. And
oh.
And Paul's like, he's not dead. And he's like, oh yeah, he's dead. He's very dead. And he's like, I was just talking to him. There's no way he's dead. And he goes over, he's dead.
What the fuck?
He died. Kat is just dead.
Oh no.
And I love this. I love this scene because it's like, you're almost like, there's no way he's dead. Like, I've seen people live through way worse.
Yeah, in movies.
Well, in this movie, even.
Yeah, I know.
Earlier in this movie. But
if
it's
it
just,
hits, you know, it hits a certain spot or
it's
whatever,
true.
It's over.
So he's fucking dead. And now.
Damn. See, all you know what? It's almost like a metaphor for the war, though, right?
Big time.
Like, literally just, you didn't need those eggs. You just did them for fun.
Yeah.
And then you did it, and someone's like,
you know
what?
That's a very good point.
He shot him, and he died over basically nothing.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Both of them died. Both of them suffered casualties. You know, that farmer lost his son?
Yeah, exactly.
Because he was like, you got to get those shits back, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I also thought, too, like, the death of even the egg is the idea of, like, the death of, like, the future, essentially, you know?
Yeah.
Like, this idea of, like, you know, your future is essentially taken from you the minute you enter into war, you know?
That's a good point, yeah.
There's also another bit. Before Kat dies, he mentions, like, when I was so old. I was, like, a 20-year-old, and I was in a class full of 9-year-olds, and they all laughed at me. And they told me that I couldn't think of a word that rhymed with trifle. Can you think of a word that rhymes with trifle? And Paul's like, rifle. And I'm like, that's very clever.
In German, they rhyme the same way.
I think they found a similar thing.
Okay, got it.
But I love that because it's again going like, this war is nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, war is just a trifle, you know.
Yeah.
War is just like this is not important. You know, what's important is human life. You know.
Yeah.
It's really good. So anyway, Bald Wario Commander, he brings all his soldiers together and he's like, "We have an hour or so left before we abdicate," and everyone's like, "Yeah, the war's over." And he's like, "I don't want to die a coward. We're going out there and we're gonna make the best of this last couple hours.
Oh, God.
We're gonna fight. We're gonna fight these
fucking
fuckers because we don't want to give up the land." Yeah. And I was and they cut back
I missed.
And they cut back that's a good one. And they come back to all the soldiers and everyone is like, "Fuck that. I don't want to go back to war. War is over." And then they start getting shot at because they won't go. And you see Paul, and Paul is numb. Paul is dead inside. He's like, "I'm just a body now. Like, Kat's dead. I have no control over my life." And this reminded me of, like, when you're put on a project at work that you don't give a shit about. You're just like, or like when you're given overtime, you know, and you're just like, "I don't fucking,
yeah,
like,
when you,
I don't want to be here."
Yeah.
You know,
I'm
going to
phone
matter.
This in, whatever.
Yeah. Like, you have to come in on Saturday. Like, I don't fucking want to come
thing,
in
though,
on Saturday.
Here's the thing, though, is that he has, you know, when he's out of work, though, he's got nothing to go back to either.
That's fair.
So it's even sadder.
It's just like, and it's like, fuck, this fucking commander doesn't even leave, like, his, like, castle or wherever he's fucking staying, you know?
No, of course
he
not.
Just sends them out to the fucking line, and he just sits there and looks at the, like, the hours tick away as the abdication, the ceasefire, actually reaches. So everyone goes out into war. Paul's fucking dead inside. And
I was
they,
like, he died already? Wow.
No. He's just dead on the inside. 15 minutes left. They have 15 minutes until the end of the war. And Paul knows this. And he's just like, "All right, let's go fight." And so he goes in. They attack the French, who are not expecting it. And Paul, he's shot almost like an animalistic killing machine action hero.
Huh.
Where, like, he's just easily murdering people now. Like, he's like, destroying people.
Well, he's given, like, up all humanity at this point, probably.
Completely. And he's able to, like, kill quite a few people now. Some with his bare hands. Like, he's just dead now, like, on the inside. And he almost, like, dies at one point, but then he, like, fights back. And then he's like in this bunker. He's about to kill this French guy. And then he gets stabbed through the stomach. Hmm. And then he hears the whistles outside and the war is over. Oh, he's like the last casualty of war. Yeah. And he like walks out and he sees peace and then he just dies.
Oh my
because
God.
Because he sees like everyone has stopped fighting. Like he sees all the dead people. And then he just sort of, and then he sees, they're in the French. I just realized this. They're in the French, like, not barracks, the trenches. Mm-hmm. And he sees, I think, the same pretty woman that guy really liked.
Oh, really?
In there. And I think it's this idea of like, we're not so different, really. You know, and we're all human, like we're all humans, you know?
Oh, I thought it was the fact that literally they're fighting in the same trenches that they were earlier.
Oh,
ago,
maybe.
So it doesn't even matter.
I like that better. I like that better.
Taking back what they lost, essentially. Whatever, and it's just like, it doesn't matter.
So then he dies. This young German soldier is asked to collect dog tags. He collects Paul's and he finds the fabric that Paul has, the one that smells like lady. Mm-hmm. And this young German soldier puts it around his neck and he takes it. And I think this is a good comparison to like how they mentioned at the beginning where they have like all of the, you know how like you'll take like the uniforms and the wash them. Mm-hmm. It's this idea of like giving like down the line, this sort of thing, you know, like the giving of this fabric that started with one guy, then was given to Paul, and now it's given to this other dude. And that's the end of the movie. It ends with some stuff saying like, and this part was fucking depressing. Shortly after the war
finally,
started.
Finally, the depressing part.
Well, because it's so stark, because it's just words. And it's like, shortly after the war started, the Western Front froze into a positional warfare. By the end of the war, the front line had barely moved. More than 3 million people died, fighting to gain only a few hundred meters.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Yeah, dude.
Fuck
that's why he saw
that.
The same sign, dude. That's why
fuck
he saw the same,
fuck
that same
that.
Art.
Fuck that.
It's just like so pointless.
Yeah.
Man.
For what?
If only there was another war going on right now that seemed pretty pointless as well. And maybe there's a reason this movie was made now.
Yeah, maybe.
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 Or maybe it was just a nice coincidence where there's another pointless war going on.
But yeah, so that's All's Quiet on the Western Front. It was quite good.
Yeah, dude.
It's funny because like I only watched the last half and I'm like, oh yeah, war's bad. But like really getting everything, the way it's told is very effective.
I think that's the thing is like, I mean, I was kind of interested in this movie a while ago because I was like, oh, yeah, I read the book a while ago. I remember it being good.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, in the end, I'm like, yeah, I get the gist. You know, it's an anti-war movie. Yeah. It's going to show how bad war is. But, like, it just does it in such an artful way. Mm-hmm. And, like, just the war scenes are just shot so intense and, like, terrifying. Like, just shows how scary everything
is. They're also shot in a way where there's, particularly at the very beginning of my half of the movie, they're all shot in such, like, a messy way. Like,
that's the thing, is that scene is so shocking. Like,
yeah, very visceral.
The dichotomy of that compared to the rest of the movie is just, like, I can't even describe it. It's just it's so stark.
Yeah,
like,
It's
such a stark difference between that fight that's just so frightening. Like, I didn't want to. I watched over. Like, I don't even think I was supposed to see that guy get run over by a tank,
no.
To be honest. But I didn't want to stop watching.
Yeah.
Because I was just like, this shit is absolute. It's like watching a train wreck, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you can't look away.
Tank wreck.
Yeah, a tank wreck. Those tanks are not wrecking.
No.
I mean, they're wrecking. They were not
they're
wrecking.
They're wrecking some people up. Yeah. Yeah, because it's like, it doesn't feel choreographed. It just feels like a bunch of people fighting, you know?
Yeah,
like,
it just feels like gross.
Yeah.
Like,
and
very
then
violent.
The movie ends with Paul becoming this like murder machine, and it feels a bit more choreographed, but it's like he's scary. Like, he feels animalistic, and then he ends up dying. So it's like, what's it even worth?
And
you
now
know?
It's all quiet on the Western Front.
Exactly.
Maybe. Another notes I had about this movie is that was there a lot of wildlife still life shots kind of in where they're like pan around like a tree?
Yeah, there's a lot of shots showing calm. Like quiet scenes,
just
showing
quiet
off
scenes.
Just the nature in the area. Yeah,
and I think that just really just goes to show the insignificance of kind of the war and how much it affects like the rest of the area around it. Like,
yeah,
it's just like you're seeing probably some of the largest casualties, like mass death in a short amount of time.
Yeah.
Around and just right next to it, it's like it doesn't matter. Like,
no,
the rest of the world,
it doesn't
matter.
Care.
It's not going to change.
Yeah,
it cares less about your petty human squabbles.
I think it even sort of goes into play of this thing of like, you know how they said like they barely moved to the line. The line stayed the same the entire time. It's this thing of like they had no control over anything. You know,
and the earth stayed the same, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. What else did you want to mention?
The other thing I wanted to mention is there is a couple images of a cat at one point like catches. keeps catching bugs.
I was wondering, because Cat's catching bugs for some reason.
Paul,
he's a cat.
Paul, yeah, it's true. He's a cat. Well, also, Paul has a moth in a jar he keeps. And I'm just like, they're really laying into the imagery of, like, being trapped.
Oh, yeah.
The fact that, like, they have no control over their lives, so they're going to perpetrate this sort of same violence they're associating with
something smaller
being captured and do it on something smaller they have control over, because they really have no control at this point, you know. Right. They're just literally listening to orders of just, hey, run into a machine gun nest, it's gonna gun you down for sure.
Yeah,
stuff like that, like,
just so we can
land.
Maintain this line.
Yeah
for some fucking guy that doesn't even like leave his damn stupid castle.
Of course,
it's none
of
fine. He lives.
We don't even see the Kaiser.
No we never
do. Doesn't matter.
Yeah,
he's just there saying orders and doing bullshit, but like, in the end, it's just all everyday folk dying on the line for the glory.
Good
they
movie.
Thought. Yeah, dude. Fucking good movie, man. I would have kept watching it. I would definitely kept watching
it. Would you recommend it? It's on Netflix. Anybody can watch
it. Yeah, that's the thing. I've almost heard like no one. I mean, it's fucking depressing.
I remember
right?
when it got like nominated. It like swept. It's nominated for a ton of shit.
Yeah.
And
I
it's
mean, it
like,
should.
Yeah. But I'm just like surprised because I feel like no one talked about it.
No.
You know? It's definitely not it's not the sexiest movie out there, you know.
No, it's not.
It's not Elvis.
Yeah, we were day one for Elvis, but this movie I was like, I'll watch it whenever I get to it. And then I didn't, so we watched it for the podcast. So go watch some movies on Netflix. If you don't have to share your password, you know, go for it. Pick it up.
That's fair. Yeah.
If you're in for, I mean, it's not a long movie too.
It's
2.5 hours.
2.5 hours.
It doesn't feel like it though.
It does fly by.
It flies by in a sad way.
Not much really happens. It's so much just fighting, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, not much actual plot is like put through, you know what I mean?
No,
it's all
just
like
a lot
little
of tension
vignettes
and vignettes and stuff like that.
Very good stuff. Very good acting across the board too. Everyone's acting in this movie.
And like you said, the soundtrack whips.
Oh my god, just look it up on Spotify.
It's so good.
Boom, boom, boom.
And then just imagine Tank's gonna come get you. And you're
good
like,
shit.
Dude,
good
dead.
Shit. So check it out, guys. If you want to listen to our previous Best Picture nomination episodes, you can find them on any podcatching app. And while you're there, please leave a 5-star rating and review. We will read it on the show no matter what it says, even if it is convincing us to enlist in a war. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And if you want to email us, email@theotherhalfpodcast.com is where you can get a hold of us.
I guess I could just say no if someone's like, hey, go join a war.
Well, I mean, maybe they'll make it sound pretty attractive.
Yeah, maybe they'll be like, yeah, you'll feel real good about it. It
seems easy.
Yeah, everyone who fights in wars has big dicks. And you know, you're real sensitive about that, about you two guys always making small dick jokes.
Yeah.
That's us.
Yeah.
That's what we care
about. Only big dicks go to war.
Only big dicks go to war. Mario, man, that guy was packing.
Oh, of course he is.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, but that diplomat, tiny little dick.
Oh, that little diplomat. Talking to the French. Ha, ha, ha. What the baby. Ha, 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 ha.
Good night, everybody.
Hey guys, if you want to join some other like-minded fans of this podcast, you can check out our Discord, which can be linked in the latest podcast going forward, as well as theotherhalfpodcast.com.
If you want to discuss movies we've watched on the podcast, if you want to recommend movies for future episodes, or if you want to watch movies, we'll have movie nights on the Discord. You can pop in, watch the movies with us and other fans of the podcast.
There's also a section on the Discord where if you want to, you can learn more about my Twitch stream. But, you know, you don't have to if you don't want to. It could be purely about the podcast.
But if you do want to, it's really great. And sometimes I'm on stream too, every other Thursday. Check it out. We play horror games specifically. You can get notified whenever a new podcast episode or whenever Ethan's live on Twitch, which is pretty often. You get to see our pretty faces, as well as other people that like the podcast and watch Ethan stream.
Yeah, so come join.
The Discord is your oyster, guys.
Do whatever you want with it.
The Discord is your oyster.